Welcome to Laudes and Lattes, the podcast where we blend the world of law and business with a warm cup of information and common sense. I'm your host, Sydney Whelan, attorney, real estate investor, and business owner. Each week, we'll be your go-to source for legal insights, business advice, and so much more. Whether you're a seasoned professional, an ambitious entrepreneur, or simply someone seeking guidance, we'll have you covered. From navigating the legal landscape to empowering you with valuable business strategies, we'll explore the legal side of life and enjoy a virtual latte along the way. So, grab your favorite latte, get comfortable, and let's dive into Laudes and Lattes. Welcome to episode 14 of Laudes and Lattes, sponsored by the Whelan Law Firm of Moberly, Missouri, your go-to source for legal issues encountered by your family and your business. If you have questions about anything we discuss on this podcast, please reach out to us at whelanlaw.com. Our goal is to serve you, your family, and your business professionally and with the utmost compassion and understanding. I'm your host, Sydney Whelan. As I have my second cup of coffee this morning, I'm thinking about taxes. Yes, I know, not always a pleasant topic to think about when starting your day. I, on the other hand, love numbers and hate taxes. Yes, taxes are inevitable and necessary. I don't even mind paying my fair share, but I don't want to pay taxes unnecessarily, and I don't want you to do that either. The April 15th income tax deadline has come and gone, and most of us are happy to have tax season in the rearview mirror. Some of us don't give any more thought to our taxes until December, and then it dawns on us that we should take a look to see if there is anything that we can do at that last minute to save some money on this year's taxes. Unfortunately, by that time, it may be too late to make any meaningful adjustments to save on taxes for the current year. So, the purpose of this episode is to encourage you to start thinking earlier in the year about things that you can do now and strategies that you can take advantage of to legally reduce your income taxes by the end of this year. First, business structures. I want to talk to you about different types of business structures and how that affects the way your business is taxed. The second thing I want to do is to explore some retirement account options that you might not have thought about to reduce your taxes, and then we'll talk about some other practical tips that you can implement now to make that tax bite a bit more palatable at the end of the year. Let's talk about business structures first. If you've listened to me in the past, you know that I'm a big fan of LLCs. LLCs are limited liability companies. For startup entrepreneurs, an LLC has many advantages as a legal structure for your business. An LLC is a legal entity separate from its owners. This means that the business itself can own property, incur liabilities, and enter into contracts. Members of an LLC are typically not personally liable for debts and obligations of the business. Their liability is limited to their investment in the company. LLCs are simple to form and offer flexibility in management structures and can be managed by the members or by an appointed manager. When we're talking about taxation, LLCs offer pass-through taxation. Profits and losses of an LLC pass through to the members who report those profits and losses on their personal tax returns. The LLC itself is not taxed at the entity level, thus avoiding the double taxation that you can have with corporations. What I'm referring to when I say double taxation of corporations, I mean that a corporation, if you choose that business structure, is required to file a corporate tax return and pay taxes on the income or profits of the corporation. If you are a shareholder of the corporation, the shareholder must also pay taxes on the income or dividends received from the corporation. Perhaps you have heard about S corporations. One of the first tax planning tips that I want to talk to you about today is the S corporation. What is an S-Corp anyway? Well, an S-Corp is actually a tax election, not just a tax structure. To be honest, this was kind of an eureka moment for me when I figured this out. It is an election or a request to the IRS to be treated like an S-Corp. It sounds a bit complex, but hang in here with me for just a minute. There are some tax benefits available if you choose the S-Corporation as a tax election. An LLC, taxed as an S-Corp, enjoys more tax benefits than just an LLC. The reason you might want to do that is that the S-Corp is the only business form that allows you to save on self-employment taxes. And if you're self-employed, you know this is a big deal. This ability to save money on self-employment taxes makes it a popular choice among professionals who expect to make a substantial profit in their business. Generally, accountants and lawyers like LLCs and S-Corps because both forms of business allow the pass-through taxation. The LLCs and S-Corps do not pay taxes on the profits made each year. Instead, those profits are passed through the business to the owners and employees and are reported only on the individual's tax returns. So, what are the key differences between LLCs and S-Corps? Well, between the two forms of business, it is easier to run an LLC. The LLC has fewer requirements for paperwork, fewer meetings are required, and it has lower startup cost. But did you know that you can combine the LLC and the S Corporation? Small business owners can choose to set up their businesses as an LLC with all the advantages of the LLC, but then opt to file taxes as an S Corporation. Legally, your company is an LLC. To the IRS, however, your business is then an S Corporation. This combination gives you the advantages of less state filings, less paperwork, and lower costs overall, and you get the benefit of less self-employment tax. So, how do you elect the S Corp status? This is where you should talk to an accountant or someone familiar with business taxes in order to obtain the S Corporation benefits. Those benefits need to be applied for after the LLC has been formed. There are specific IRS forms that are required, and an LLC has 75 days to make this application if you're going to be treated as an S-Corp for the entire year. If you're going to be treated as an S-Corp, you have to meet certain criteria as well in order for the IRS to accept the S-Corp status. There are some rather strict rules that must be applied to continue to qualify. So again, professional advice is recommended. Because there are additional forms to file with the IRS and because there are certain restrictions, it may not be advantageous for all small business to make this S-Corp election. What I have been told is that the likely advantage point is that if you expect to make a profit of $40,000 to $50,000 in your business this year, it may be worth your while to check with your accountant or tax professional to see if this tax election could help you save self-employment taxes. The way this works is that when an owner who actively participates in the business performs services for an LLC that is taxed like an S-Corp, the S-Corporation allows the owner of the business to be treated as an employee for tax purposes. As an owner, average payer salary must be given to the owner as an employee for those tasks performed, and the same benefits need to be given to that employee as you would other employees. Essentially, you are treated as an employee of your own business. The dual status as an owner and an employee is the secret to the tax savings. The money received from the business as a salary is taxable as personal income to you and must be reported on the 1040 tax return. Social Security and Medicare taxes will have to be taken out of this income, as well as any state and federal taxes that apply, just as if it were paid to another employee. In fact, even though you are the owner of the business, you will be paying both your share and the business's share of the payroll taxes on the salary you pay to yourself. However, now the salary that you pay yourself as the employee of your business is treated as a regular business expense, reducing your business's taxable income. This reduces the income or profit in your business that is subject to the self-employment tax. Essentially, the salary that you pay yourself is now treated as a business expense instead of business profit that must be assessed self-employment tax. Less taxes mean more money in your pocket, and that is always a good thing. Next, let's talk about savings that you might have on your taxes because of retirement accounts. I urge you to consider retirement accounts for you and your employees. As a small business owner, you may find it difficult to offer many benefits to your employees, making it hard to compete with larger companies or other employers who are able to offer enticing benefit packages to attract and retain desirable employees. Retirement accounts offer a win-win situation for both you and your employees. Retirement accounts are a terrific way to set aside funds for retirement and reduce taxable income, and also allow you to legally pay less taxes at the end of the year. If you are a business owner, I strongly encourage you to talk with an investment advisor or a knowledgeable attorney or tax professional to discuss your options. And there are many options out there. To name a few, traditional IRAs, Roth IRA, 401k, solo 401k, SEP IRA, simple IRA. These retirement accounts come in various forms, each with its own set of definitions, requirements, and benefits. Here's a rundown of some of the most common retirement accounts. The traditional IRA. A traditional individual retirement account is a tax-advantaged account that allows individuals to save for retirement with tax-deferred growth. The contribution limits for 2024 is $6,500 per year or $7,500 if you're age 50 or older. Deductions may be limited if a person is covered by a retirement plan at work and income exceeds certain level contributions. Deposits to a traditional IRA are typically tax deductible, reducing your taxable income for the year. Withdrawals, however, are taxed as ordinary income. Two, let's talk about the Roth IRA. A Roth IRA is a retirement account where contributions are made with after-tax dollars, allowing for tax-free growth and tax-free investment withdrawals in retirement. The contribution limits for 2024 are, again, $6,500 per year or $7,500 if you're age 50 or older. Contributions, however, are phased out at the higher income levels, $153,000 for single filers and $228,000 for married filers filing jointly in 2024. While this type of IRA contribution does not reduce your income tax obligation, it is an option for tax-free withdrawals in retirement. Next is the 401k. A 401k is an employer-sponsored retirement plan that allows employees to save and invest for retirement on a tax-deferred basis. The contribution limits are considerably higher than for your traditional IRA, and allows greater tax savings if you have extra cash to contribute. The contribution limits for 2024 is $23,000 or $30,500 if you are age 50 or older. Employers may match contributions subject to certain limits because the contributions are made with pre-tax dollars. This legally reduces your taxable income and reduces your tax obligation for the year. The next retirement account that I want to talk about is the solo 401k, also known as an individual 401k. This type of retirement account is designed for self-employed individuals and small business owners with no employees other than the spouse. You are required to be self-employed in small business with no full-time employees. You may not use the solo 401k if you have employees in your business. The contribution limits, however, are high. For 2024, total contributions can be made up to $66,000, or for those of us age 50 or older, $73,500. Because contributions are made with pre-tax dollars And because of the higher limits, you can substantially reduce your taxable income with this type of 401k if you don't have employees. Next on our list is the Simplified Employee Pension, or SEP, S-E-P, IRA. It's a retirement plan designed for self-employed individuals and small business owners to make contributions for both themselves and their employees. The contribution limits for this type of pension plan is up to 25% of the compensation rate, or $66,000, whichever is less. Contributions are made with pre-tax dollars. Again, if your business is profitable, you can substantially reduce your taxable income by maximizing your contribution to a SEP IRA. The final retirement account that I want to talk about is the Simple IRA. Simple is an acronym for Savings Incentive Match Plan for Employees. This Simple IRA is a retirement plan for small businesses with 100 or fewer employees. The contribution limits for 2024 is $17,500, or for a person age 50 or older, it's $20,500 for employees. The employer may also contribute. And if this type of plan is set up, the employers must either match employee contributions up to 3% of compensation or make a 2% non-elective contribution for each eligible employee. Again, contributions are made with pre-tax dollars and reduces your taxable income. If you are taking advantage of the S-Corp status discussed earlier, you may make contributions to your own Simple plan, both as an employee and as the employer. In conclusion, each type of retirement account has its unique benefits and requirements, making them suitable for different situations. Traditional IRAs and Roth IRAs are great for individual savers, while 401k plans and their variants cater to employees and the self-employed individuals. The downside of a 401k plan for some employers is that they do have significant reporting requirements and can be a bit complex to set up. SEP IRAs and Simple IRAs, on the other hand, are very simple to set up and provide retirement savings options for small business owners and their employees. Understanding these options can help you make informed decisions not only about retirement planning, but tax planning for your business and family as well. My suggestion is to educate yourself about the various plans out there, find an investment advisor or other financial consultant that you trust, and set up a plan that works for you and your business. Outside of retirement accounts, I also want to talk about another type of savings account, the health savings account, or HSA. Health savings accounts, or HSAs, are tax-advantaged savings accounts designed to help individuals save for and pay for qualified medical expenses. If you're an entrepreneur or business owner, please consider this type of account for yourself and perhaps your employees. Here's an explanation of HSAs, including their benefits and eligibility requirements. Number one, they are tax-advantaged. Contributions to an HSA are tax deductible regarding your taxable income, much like retirement accounts discussed earlier. Funds in the HSA grow tax-free, meaning any interest or investment earnings are not subject to tax. Distributions or withdrawals for qualified medical expenses are tax-free. HSAs can be used to pay for a wide range of medical expenses, including doctor visits, prescription drugs, dental care, vision care, and more. To be eligible for an HSA, you must be enrolled in a high-deductible healthcare plan. For 2024, a high-deductible healthcare plan is defined as a healthcare plan with minimum deductibles of $1,600 for individuals or $3,200 for families, with maximum out-of-pocket expenses of $8,050 for individuals or $16,100 for families. The funds in the HSA are portable. They belong to the account holder, meaning that you can keep the account even if you change jobs or you retire. And unlike flexible spending accounts, otherwise known as FSAs, the balance in an HSA rolls over from year to year. The tax advantages are considerable. Contributions are tax deductible. The account earnings grow tax free, and withdrawals for qualified medical expenses are tax free. In addition to the immediate tax benefits, HSAs can be used as long-term savings vehicles for medical expenses in retirement. It has the potential to be invested in stocks, bonds, or mutual funds. After age 65, withdrawals for non-medical expenses are taxed at regular income tax rates similar to traditional IRAs, but there is no penalty. Contributions may be made by the account holder, their employer, or anyone else on behalf of the account holder. The account holder has complete control over how and when to use the funds. Remember, however, if you withdraw any of the funds for non-qualified medical expenses before age 65, you will incur a 20% penalty, and the funds are subject to income tax. The annual contribution limits for 2024 are $4,150 for individuals and $8,300 for families, with an additional $1,000 catch-up contribution for those of us who are age 55 and older. So, for the last tax planning tip, I just want to remind you to know your numbers. Review your tax returns from last year, and if you need to, go over them with your attorney, your accountant, or your financial planner, and look into areas where you might be able to reduce your taxable income for this year and next year. The strategies we have talked about today, restructuring your business or setting up different types of retirement accounts for yourself and or your employees, are a few of the ways to legally reduce your taxes and put more money into your pocket. I love numbers and sharing business tips. If you have a strategy that has worked for you, please share it with me, and I will in turn share it with our listeners. Thank you for listening today. I hope that you have found this episode helpful. If you have been in business for a while, or if you are a new startup, please reach out to us at WhelanLaw.com to learn how we can help you and your business. We can also put our contact information in the show notes. As a reminder, if you hit the subscribe button, you will automatically be alerted when a new episode airs. If you enjoyed this episode, please give us a 5-star review and share it with your friends and family. As always, my friends, grab a cup of coffee or your favorite latte. Hold your loved ones tight and have a great week.
This podcast episode contains general information for discussion purposes only. Each case is different and must be judged on its own merits. Missouri rules generally prohibit lawyers from advertising that they specialize in particular areas of the law. This show should not be construed to suggest such specialization. Nothing on this show should be taken as legal advice for any individual case or situation. This information is not intended to create an attorney-client relationship, and the listening or viewing of this podcast does not constitute an attorney-client relationship. The choice of a lawyer is an important decision and should not be based solely upon advertisements.